Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Tuesday, October 19th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a very special guest who just released, along with Jim Hoffman, one of the best 9/11 books out there. It's called Waking Up from Our Nightmare. You can see it there on the screen. It's also subtitled The 9/11 Crimes in New York City. And not only is this book jam-packed with information and data that gets to everything in a very succinct way, but it's also put together beautifully. It has these glossy pages and lots of color photographs and one of the most enjoyable books that we've read on the subject. And even though it's a short book, it goes even beyond 9/11 into some of the financiers and some of the things going on in Afghanistan and so forth. So,
and it also shows the proof that can be used in a criminal trial if this were ever brought to court. It meets the standard of proof used in criminal cases. So we welcome Don Paul to the show.
How you doing, Don?
Oh, thank you very much for, firstly, for having me on and then for introducing the book with such nice remarks.
Well, Don, I was speaking with someone about a week and a half ago or so, and he was from the John Kerry campaign. And this was the day I got your book, the day I received it in the mail, and we started discussing it, and I showed him the back cover of your book. And I don't know if people can pick it up on the screen right now, but it shows the World Trade Center explosions and then the World Trade Center 7 implosion. Mm-hmm. And I asked this person how this could be. And it's like all the blood drained from your face, from his face when I explained it to him. So to start off with, why don't you tell everyone how they can order your book and how you got involved in the subject of 9/11?
All right. For the practicalities, the easiest way to access the book for those who could go on the Internet is via Jim Hoffman's site, www.wtc7.net. Mm-hmm. And then it's... in the store, under books, Waking Up. You know, I highly recommend anyone who hasn't been to his site, especially the larger related domain, 9/11 Research. Uh-huh. You can spend hours very beneficially there. He's done a wonderful job of investigating just about every aspect of the day.
I think we also have your book available on the Wing TV website as well.
Right.
And, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah, we're very proud to carry it. So, when we since you mentioned Jim Hoffman, and we had him on Wing TV before, one of our best guests, actually, and just jam-packed with information, but he's one of the experts on the World Trade Center building, number 7. So, to start this off, why don't you talk a little bit about Larry Silverstein, his admission that they pulled this building, and it seems like WTC 7 just got pushed to the wayside when it comes to the mainstream.
I think it's the best instance of how the corporate media has absolutely hid every major fact about the crimes. In our book, we spend about 15 pages proving that WTC 7 must have been brought down by controlled demolition, by a beautifully done implosion that left its walls tilting inward over a very tidy heap of rubble. And at the end of that section on WTC 7, we refer to Larry Silverstein on a PBS documentary in September of 2002. The documentary was titled America Rebuilds. And on that program, broadcast across the United States, Silverstein said, "I remember getting a call from her, the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire, that is, in Building 7. And I said, we've had such a terrible loss of life, maybe the smartest thing to do is to pull it.
Uh-huh.
And they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse.
I would like to ask
in his usage there means to demolish. And that should have been front page headlines across the world the next day, because what it meant was the developer had said they demolished that World Trade Center building on September 11th, and in order to demolish it, they would have had to place the charges for days in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So would you say that Silverstein's statement regarding pulling the building was incriminating? And also, the second part of my question relates to something you wrote in your book about WTC 7. You wrote, Its collapse and total demolition would be the surest means of destroying evidence that its emergency command center was the command center for the greatest single act of mass murder against U.S. citizens ever. Was it the command center?
That was Rudolph Giuliani's so-called bunker that he had built in 1997 in supposed response to the 1993 bombings of the World Trade Center Twin Towers, which we know were actually perpetrated by an FBI informant, and the FBI itself was the major player there. But anyway, that 23rd floor command center afforded a perfect view of the Twin Towers. It was only about 300 feet away. It would have been the optimal place in which to execute both directing the airliners into the towers and then the subsequent demolitions.
Right.
So they accomplished a lot of things by bringing down WTC-7. As you just mentioned, Lisa, they destroyed the evidence. They also destroyed a lot of evidence about ongoing proceedings against companies that Dick Cheney was involved in, and they collected about $500 million worth of profit in terms of the insurance. Silverstein Properties developed WTC-7 in the middle 80s. It was completed in 86. A mortgage holder had changed hands just the prior year. A Blackstone group had taken over the principal part of the mortgage in October 2000. A Blackstone group is headed by a man named Peter G. Peterson, who remains the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Right, right.
And until this year was chairman of the New York Bank of the Federal Reserve System.
So he's a high roller. Now, the official verdict on WTC-7 is very vague, isn't it? What does the government, or FEMA, what do they say happened?
They say they'd rather not say. They say they can't say. What they say exactly is, this is FEMA's report, which in a way is, you know, anyone who was party to it is kind of culpable, but they only had $600,000 to work with, and they didn't have access to much of the remains of WTC-7 or the Twin Towers. So they were, you know, in an impossible position in order to render any kind of verdict, but they should have just thrown up their hands and walked away. Anyway, the pertinent sentence reads, the specifics of the fires in WTC-7 and how they caused the building to collapse remain unknown at this time. Although the total diesel fuel on the premises contained massive potential energy, a lie, the best hypothesis has only a few, a low probability of occurrence. Further research, investigation, and analysis are needed to resolve this issue.
Okay, I'd like to go through quickly the five points, separate points you list in your book that meet the criminal standard of proof in a court trial for this case. The proof one, towers fell with dead-centered symmetry. If you want to throw in anything as I'm reading these off, go right ahead, Don. Number two, non-metallic materials pulverized to fine dust in the air. Number three, North Tower disappeared as rapidly as rubble falling through the air. Number four, the South Tower's top disintegrated before falling. And number five, the energy required to destroy the towers and expand the ensuing dust clouds far exceeded officially acknowledged supplies. Right.
So I guess give us an overview of how the government and the mainstream's version of events couldn't have happened with in regard to the two towers.
Well, I'd kind of like, if I could, to go back to the five points that Lisa just listed, because it's always good to be as simple and clear as possible. We've shifted over to the Twin Towers, and this is at the end of our section of illustrations and documentation about the Twin Towers. And these proofs are largely Jim Hoffman's. I helped him with the exposition of them and so forth. But basically what they say is what many observers saw, you know, with their basic common sense and intelligence, that, you know, the towers pretty much fell straight down when they should have toppled. That's the dead-centered symmetry.
Right.
They also exploded with a pulverization that cannot be explained by the potential gravitational energy.
And your pictures
at the very start of their falls, they just burst into dust.
Right. Now, your pictures on the back cover, I've never seen pictures that good that just show the explosion coming out from those buildings.
Right. Well, thank you. We took quite a lot of time in selecting which ones to be there. And then the other point that I think really registers with people in terms of the structures, and it's where the, to kind of get back to what Victor was saying about the deceptions and so forth, the rubble outside the towers, you know, those volcanic clouds of rubble,
mm-hmm.
rubble falling outside the body of the buildings as the buildings did stand, is falling at the same rate as the rubble falling through the buildings. In other words, as if the 47 central steel columns and the very substantial lattice work between each floor did not exist.
Right, there was no resistance.
Right, so that means, of course, that all that matter, those columns and so forth, had to be destroyed at the same rate as objects falling through the air. Yeah.
And Jim, there's actually a mathematical formula that I put in my book, The New World, or The 9/11 Exposed, that shows that if these buildings fall in a free fall with no resistance, it would take them about 9 to 10 seconds, and that's exactly the time that it took them to fall.
Yeah, it kind of depends when you where and when you count. We put it about 15, but still it is much, much faster than could have happened if the internal structures of the buildings had not been demolished at the exact same time as the matter was falling. And then I think to come to the fifth point that Lisa listed, and this is one of Jim's first major contributions. He did the computation for the amount of energy that would have been required to produce a cloud of that size. And it is at least 10 times more than the potential gravitational energy. So the short of all of this is that, you know, there had to be explosives set off in the towers. And in addition to that, we believe there had to be an energy source that kind of exceeds the powers that are known to the lay public regard to conventional explosives.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in 1 second. But first, I want to point out on page 29 of your book, you have a photograph of one of the World Trade Center towers while it was being constructed. And to look actually inside this structure, these weren't flimsy buildings, were they? These were built strong to withhold just or withstand about
anything.
They
were exemplars of their time.
Right.
They were the strongest buildings one could imagine erecting, you know, within their dimensions. They had extraordinarily strong cores. And that's something that FEMA's report and the PBS documentaries completely leave out.
Right.
Do you think that those buildings were wired at the time they were being built?
I don't think so.
Some people do.
Yeah, I know people have. To me, it's just carrying a long-time liability. To me, the greatest likelihood is that they were wired with conventional explosives early in September, most particularly in the weekend preceding 9/11, in which Scott Forbes, a fellow who worked for Fidelity Investment, said that they had this
power down.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I would like to have you address this. In the beginning of your book, you talk about the persistent fictions that the public has been subjected to about Osama bin Laden. And you talk about the Osama of December 13th, 2001, in comparison to prior records.
Have you got that page up on your screen?
Here, we'll show it right
now.
You can
show it. The prior records of Osama bin Laden in November of 01 from CNN and NPR compared to 1998.
There's quite a striking difference.
I mean, he looks totally different.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that comedian, Paul Mooney. It's just sad. It's so pathetic. Because the difference, I mean, what has been put over to the public is, you know, it's an insult to anyone's intelligence. As the thumbnail pictures show, we call Pentagon is, you know, looks kind of like a gorilla would look, who's having to live off the land. He looks lean and so forth. That's the most widely known Osama bin Laden image.
Well, that's the one the government has shown us.
The person they trotted out in late 2001 when they supposedly found this video in Kandahar is a completely different person. He's got a much shorter nose. His cheeks bulge. His beard is not the same. His smile is not the same. People may remember, this is the only visual proof that's been presented that Osama bin Laden admitted guilt for the attacks of 9/11/01.
Now, you mentioned that there were inside the World Trade Center towers explosives or some kind of device beyond just regular charges. And Christopher Bolin from the American Free Press pointed out that there was molten pools of steel bubbling beneath the World Trade Center towers, seven stories below ground level, for 5 or 6 weeks afterwards. So if someone had to say to you, Don, what was inside those towers that brought them down, what exactly would you say?
This is kind of outside my expertise. I think it would be a better speculation for Jim Hoffman, and he kind of eschews that because he wants to stay away from speculation.
Uh-huh.
But privately, between us, we think it was probably an energy beam weapon.
Oh, no.
Something that they could roll over from WTC-7, set up quickly, and fire.
Oh, very interesting.
And that kind of corresponds with the explosions that occurred in the basement that would have cleared everyone out of the basement early.
Okay, let's get into this for a second. In the beginning of your book, you'll also list the banner headlines of 63 U.S. newspapers on September 12, 2001. Five of the 63 front page headlines referred to Pearl Harbor, and only one actually showed pictures of the collapse of the Twin Towers. Talk about the media and how the media has spun 9/11 to the public.
Well, again, it's as if everything came from one script. If you go back and watch videos of the morning, you find the same words recurring from all the heads. And then if you look, as you say, Lisa, at the banner headlines that Jim Hoffman assembled on one page of our book, there is terror, 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 attacked, 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 acts of evil, evil acts, assault on America, you know, just kind of an incessant iteration of the message that they wanted to communicate to the public.
Rather than it questioning whether it was intentionally exploded
from charges. Yeah, complete disregard of what should be journalistic responsibility to analyze what had happened. And as you say, only one of those front pages showed an image of the towers exploding, because they did not want people to see that or think about it.
Right, exactly. Now, as I mentioned when the show began, not only do you cover 9/11 in this book, but you also go into the illegal opium that's coming out of Afghanistan and the huge amount of money that that provides, also the financiers who profited from this, and also the insurance companies that made, or the insurance money that was made off of this. So speak a little bit about this and show how 9/11 has ramifications way beyond just that single day.
Right, and who benefited the most from 9/11 and the wars and invasions that followed?
Right.
Okay, to kind of take it in four steps, which I think lead to the end that we wanted to reach in that section of the book. There were a lot of immediate profits made from the destruction of the Twin Towers. Firstly, I think it should be understood that the Twin Towers themselves were white elephants, that they faced about $1 billion in necessary renovations for asbestos removal.
Uh-huh.
And they were unloaded by the New York Port Authority to Silverstein Properties just a few months before September 11th, 2001. It hasn't quite been adjudicated yet, but Silverstein Properties and the other owners of destroyed World Trade Center powers are claiming and receiving a lot more money than they invested. I mean, Silverstein Properties actually put in only $15 million of its own money, so to speak, toward purchase of the World Trade Center Twin Towers and related properties. And it asked for $7.1 billion because it claimed a double occurrence due to the two hits.
It's a nice profit
and
margin, huh?
Already a couple of $1 billion based on its claims. So there was those immediate proceeds via the insurance. And something we didn't touch on the book because it was too much, but the insurance industry itself, which includes Warren Buffett and Maurice Greenberg and all these players, was kind of in a stagnant situation, and it didn't look like it was going to change in terms of the premiums they could charge. But immediately after 9/11, the premiums skyrocketed. So an entity like Berkshire, which Warren Buffett owns, you know, faced or took a hit of about $2 billion for insurance claims related to 9/11, but in the ensuing year made about $5 billion in terms of its increased premiums.
Right. Real quickly, we're running out of time, but touch upon the opium and the money that's derived from that coming out of Afghanistan right now.
Okay, this. Thank you, Victor. Quick step. The amount of opium that comes from Afghanistan is about 3,500 to 4,500 metric tons. What that means to the world's illegal economy is about $180 billion.
Incredible.
What it means when laundered into the world's legal economy is a value about 20 times $180 billion because of the pop factor, the speculation factor.
Mm-hmm.
So opium from Afghanistan means to stock markets, banks, etc., over $3 trillion a year. In short, it means more than the entire United States budget.
Incredible.
So I think that was the prime urgency for invading Afghanistan.
Especially when the Taliban had virtually wiped it out just the year or two before 9/11, right?
That's right.
But the U.S. government managed to increase
within
it again.
Weeks of the United States invasion, they were replanting fields with opium that, of course, now is reaching streets of Philadelphia, New York City, London, etc.
Well, Don, thank you so much for being on Wing TV. Everybody go to WTC7.net. The name of the book is Waking Up From Our Nightmare, The 9/11 Crimes in New York City. And folks, believe us, this is one of the best out there. And the pictures...
Don't believe us. Check it out for yourself.
Right. If pictures say 1,000 words, there's about 10 million in this book, so
and
take a
Don
look.
Don will also be on Wing TV again very soon.
Yeah,
so.
I think we have him on November 29th, so make sure to check him out. Don, thank you again. You put together a wonderful book.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your work. You know, we all work together.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much. Tomorrow, we're going to be back on Wing TV with Mr. Nico Haupt. So tune in, folks. We'll see you then.
Take care.